we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is Dan Friedel, and for VOA's Sonny Young, welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. In just about 2 hours, France will play neighboring Belgium in the first semifinal at the World Cup football tournament in Russia. On the French side, we heard yesterday about Cameroon's affinity for 19-year-old blazing fast striker Kylian Mbappe, who has created and scored a number of goals in this tournament with the way his speed puts pressure on opposing teams. He and his running mate Antoine Griezmann have 3 goals apiece, and Mbappe is certainly considered a possibility for the tournament's Golden Ball Award, given to the most outstanding player. There are many more players, however, in Tuesday's game with African roots. Joining me now is VOA's Prince Nesta, with more on the France-Belgium World Cup semifinal and the players with African connections. Sporty World Cup greetings, Prince.
Sporty World Cup greetings, Dan. It is worth noting that as France and Belgium face off in the first semi-final berth, 14 of the French players are reported to have African roots. Top on the list include players such as Kylian Mbappe and defender Samuel Umtiti, who are of Cameroonian descent. N'Golo Kante and Ousmane Dembélé are of Malian descent. Paul Pogba is of Guinean descent, while Blaise Matuidi is of Angolan descent. Top Belgian players Romelu Lukaku, Michy Batshuayi, Dedrick Boyata, Vincent Kompany, and Youri Tielemans are of Congolese descent. Marouane Fellaini and Nasser Chadli are of Moroccan descent, while Moussa Dembélé is of Malian descent. We wish all players with African roots all the best and hope that they will make Africa super proud. I'm Prince Nesta on the Sunny Side of Sports. Back to you, Dan.
Thanks, Prince. I'm Dan Friedel in for Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Speaking of African soccer, our correspondent Iron Mike Mbonye caught up with Shino Phillips, an agent who has some solutions for perhaps making African nations and not just the individual players more competitive on the world stage.
Upon returning from Russia, one thing was very crystal clear to me, that African countries should beyond just participating in the World Cup. Going by antecedent, it's always been like that. African countries prepare so well, contend with themselves at the continent level to participate in the World Cup. And we've discovered from history that no African country has at any point in time prepared themselves to win the World Cup like most of the European American countries and South American countries do.
Why do you say so?
But that's how it has been. Let's look at our own country, Nigeria, with a pool of talents all over the country. But it's shocking that every time we always desire to cross just the first, second, or possibly get to the quarterfinals. And I think that as the giant of Africa, with the pool of talents we have all over the country, with our interest and love for football, our preparation should be long time and should be geared towards winning the World Cup and not just getting to the quarterfinals. There's always this satisfaction that if we're able to get to the quarterfinals, that we've done pretty well, which is why, you know, all we wanted this board to do was to at least exceed second round. Is that what we invest our money, our time? Is that a dream? Is that a vision? And this can only be made possible when, for instance, in Nigeria, that our league becomes formidable, strong enough to recruit 100% of players that will go to the World Cup and deliver.
Do you think that the Nigerian Football Federation has the wherewithal to strengthen the league and make it formidable?
Well, it's not just about the Nigerian Football Federation. This is something that must be integrated into government's own plan. This is sports. Government cannot ignore it. You want to be the best in the world, government must invest in it. Government must have its eyes on it and put in the structure that is backed up with the infrastructure. This is not just about Nigerian Football Federation, which is why I'm appalled with the recent happenings with the board and all of that. This is not a Pinnick problem. The problem is beyond Amaju Pinnick. The problem is beyond the Nigerian Football Federation. This is a Nigerian problem that the government in place or at any given time will come with a blueprint of how we want to structure our sports and football in particular. Some years back now, the Chinese government employed a very huge four cardinal points program that will make the Chinese in the next 20 years it's a very strong superpower in football. Now the program is ongoing. All that the government did was to integrate all the big wigs, the big names like the Dangotes in China, for instance, the owner of Alibaba. They brought them in with a strong committee headed by the vice president. And all they are doing is to see to it that China will become a very strong superpower in football. The program is ongoing. They are buying not just talent, they are buying intelligence and all that will make China become a superpower in football.
How can we in Africa achieve this, emulate what the Chinese are doing?
We don't need to emulate what the Chinese are doing. We have followed the English League, the Premiership. We followed all. We did. The Chinese are just coming in with their own program. So if there's anything to emulate, plan, long-time plan. Design your own concept. Looking at those who have succeeded, it's just like with the league. Is there anything strange that we need to do that has not been done in Spain, that is not being done in England? Just look at the blueprint and work with it.
You were in Russia for this World Cup.
Yes.
You've just returned from Russia. What are those positives you think that will help grow Nigerian football?
Well, again, it comes down to government, the body responsible for managing football in Nigeria. And it comes down to looking at a template, you know, that will give us the right structure and then back it up with the infrastructure. There is nothing that happened in Russia that has never happened before in our attempt at the World Cup. There is nothing.
That's Mike Mbonye with Shino Phillips talking about the African nation's performance at the World Cup. I'm Dan Friedel in for Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports. Everybody is excited for this semifinal coming up tonight between Belgium and France, and some think that it may be the true final, considering the strength of play on the two teams on that side of the bracket. Swedish soccer reporter Stefan Lofgren is there in St. Petersburg for the game. I asked him whether he thought the commentary ahead of the match was fair to Croatia and England. I'm joined right now on the Sunny Side of Sports by Stefan Lofgren. He is moments away from arriving at the stadium in St. Petersburg for the long-awaited first semifinal of this year's World Cup between Belgium and France. Welcome to the show, Stefan.
Thanks. Great to be with you.
Stefan, what in your opinion has been the highlight moment for you of this World Cup? Has it measured up to the 4 years of anticipation?
Oh, there's been so many. We're at what they call the business end of the World Cup now, with only four teams remaining. But it's been such an entertaining World Cup, you know, full of dramatic storylines and surprises. And for me, it started. One of the first games that I saw was Germany-Mexico, with that great Mexican upset of the reigning champions in Moscow, and it's been a great ride ever since.
So here we are. We're just in the final four of this tournament, as our fellow Americans here at Voice of America like to call the last two matches of a big tournament leading into the finals. And some people are saying that the game tomorrow between Croatia and England is perhaps inferior, and today's game with France and Belgium is the true championship test. What do you think about that perspective?
I know there are a lot of people who are saying that. You know, Belgium-France is a matchup between the two teams that have probably been the most exciting to watch if you like attacking football, and who doesn't. You know, both of their games are based on a lot of pace and power, and some would say that, or some would see this as the true final. You know, I tend to agree based on what we've seen from these two teams earlier in the tournament. You know, France, of course, went on beat Argentina 4-3 in one of the best games of the tournament, and then went on to knock Uruguay out. Belgium, you know, they topped their group, but they came very close to crashing out against Japan. But they certainly demonstrated what they're capable of doing against Brazil in the quarterfinals, you know, eliminating the, you know, what most would say were the tournament favorites in that thrilling 2-1 win. So, yes, this is a mouth-watering clash between two very good teams.
So, what are the two teams that you would like to see in the final? The two teams to move out of the semifinals that'll make for the most exciting matchup on Sunday.
Well, I think we're going to see an exciting matchup in the final, no matter what, to be honest, because there's a lot of different storylines brewing here. It's not just a matter of the top teams, for this particular game. I think with Belgium and France, France are probably considered a narrow favorite. They have won the World Cup, even though it was 20 years ago. They made it to the finals of the Euros last time around. On paper, they have so much quality throughout the team, from defense through the midfield, and they got possibly the most exciting young talent in this World Cup in Kylian Mbappe, the 19-year-old forward who was just electrifying in that win against Argentina. It'd be great to see France, but it'd be great to see Belgium also. For years people have been talking about Belgium as sort of the dark horses to win the trophy. And it just hasn't happened for them for one reason or another. But you sort of get the sense that this is it. This is the make or break point for this team. They're an older, more experienced team than the French, and a team that is stacked with quality and superstar names. And they have they're so exciting to watch on that counterattack, and they're built around speed. So as far as France and Belgium, if I had to pick, I'd probably go with Belgium, but I'd be excited to watch France too. And maybe we can,
Yeah, how about on the other side? Which team would you like to see come out of the other side of the bracket to make for the most compelling final?
Well, it's interesting. I do think that on paper, I think that Croatia is the better team. They are a better team than England. England is a young and pretty inexperienced team in a way, but I think that's something that could work in their favor. There's a really positive vibe around this young England team. They don't have that pressure that previous teams from, say, 10, 15 years ago with the golden generation with players like David Beckham and Steven Gerrard and Frank Lampard. They don't have that pressure, and nobody expected them to be here. It's such a great story, this is the best chance that England has to win the World Cup. It's a title that has eluded them for over 50 years, ever since they, famously won it on their home ground in 1966. And I would say on paper, Croatia is probably the stronger team, but England would be a fairy tale story if they were to make the World Cup final. It's gonna be a tough game. Also, England is on an upward trajectory, and they're confident after their penalty shootout win against Colombia. They broke that curse, and whereas with Croatia, they're coming off of two grueling games where they've only advanced through penalties, and they're a pretty beat up team, and they also have some injuries. So I think that's also a very tough game to call.
That's Stefan Lofgren just moments ago outside the stadium in St. Petersburg. Now, for more on the World Cup, we're joined by Samson O'Malley.
Sporty greetings to you, Dan. The Russian port city of St. Petersburg, which doubles as Russia's cultural center, will host the epic semi-final clash between France and Belgium in an encounter that will guarantee a spot in the finals of the 2018 FIFA World Cup in Russia. France looked defensively solid in the 2-0 victory over Uruguay. Raphael Varane and Samuel Umtiti were tight at the back, and this points to a wider defensive stability. The only blot on their copybook was the 3 goals conceded to Argentina in the round of 16. France coach Didier Deschamps is not losing any sleep over the match, as he thinks he has prepared his players for any tactical surprises. His opposite number, Roberto Martinez, might spring up when they face Belgium.
À plusieurs cas de figure, début de match, différentes compos, différentes organisations, et en cours de match aussi, c'est pas spécifique à la Belgique, ça peut arriver avec tous les adversaires qu'on a déjà rencontrés aussi.
The semi-finals represent the best opportunity for the current golden generations of Belgian stars to reach their true potential. For manager Roberto Martinez, he believes his side's team spirit and togetherness can ensure they carry on their extraordinary journey in Russia to book a place for the biggest prize in football.
I think it's the game of the tournament. I think if you look at Germany leaving the tournament quite early, Spain, then the world ranking shows that Brazil are number 2, Belgium number 3. So you're going to get a really good encounter because both teams are very similar in styles. We rely both in attacking teams, scoring goals. Should be a very open game. And a game where probably the moment that you wanted this game to be played could be in a different stage of the tournament. But I think that's probably the beautiful aspect of this game, that it comes in a moment of the World Cup that I think it shows what this Russia 2018 World Cup has been a phenomenal tournament with unexpected events, and now we just want to make sure that we are at our best to face the best team in the history of the World Cup.
Kevin De Bruyne, Belgian midfielder, is also staying focused ahead of the crucial encounter, and he is confident of a good result.
Very excited, obviously. So it's a semi-final of the World Cup, so it's one of these games at the biggest stage, what everybody wants to play, so feel quite at ease at the moment, but obviously, just looking forward to it.
On Wednesday in Moscow, England will take on Croatia, the fifth time in World Cup history that the 4 semi-finalists will be European teams. Gareth Southgate is the England's manager.
We are enjoying the journey. We came here to enjoy our football. We have all the way through been one of the youngest teams in the tournament, the least experienced team in the tournament. But we were never quite sure how far this team could go. And the age of the players, the improvement in the players, the hunger in the players has been apparent for everybody to see. We're really proud in the style that we've played. It's really been an enjoyable journey. We want to keep it going.
In other stories, Croatian Football Federation has sacked Ognjen Vukojevic, a member of the national team's coaching staff, over a glory to Ukraine video posted after Croatia beat Russia in the World Cup quarterfinals. Vukojevic and Croatia defender Domagoj Vidar published a video on social media after the match on Saturday, which was criticized by Russian politicians and led to a warning from FIFA's disciplinary committee. The incident comes as Croatia prepared to face England on Wednesday with the place in the World Cup final at stake. Former Roma and Barcelona head coach Luis Enrique is the new manager of Spain and is on a 2-year contract. The 48-year-old takeover from Fernando Hierro, who was thrown into the role on the eve of La Roja's disappointing World Cup campaign following the sacking of Julen Lopetegui. The Qatar Road to 2022 has opened in central Moscow. The exhibition offers free, fascinating trip through football history with memorabilia, including match-worn shirts from legends such as Pelé, Diego Maradona and Xavi Hernandez, along with mascots and official balls from past tournaments. In addition, the exhibition showcases Qatar's plans for the next edition of the tournament in 2022, while celebrating the country's football history, including the official FIFA World Cup tickets collection of Qatari collector Mohamed Abdulatif. From the Luzhniki Stadium here in Moscow, I am Samson Omale.
Thanks, Samson, for that comprehensive report on the World Cup. Now for a different sport that's also played on grass, we're joined by my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden, with an update on the Wimbledon tennis tournament in London. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Dan. Well, it all seems to be going as planned for Roger Federer, Rafael Nadal, Novak Djokovic, and Serena Williams. All four have advanced to the quarterfinals. Roger Federer enters the quarters for the 16th time after defeating Adrien Manarino of France in straight sets. After the match, Federer talked about how playing in the second week of the tournament differs from the first.
The second week, I always feel like it plays different. You know, then the court is used in the back, you can move better. And then it's just a question like, how warm is it? And the ball does bounce and go now.
Federer also spoke about his 32-set winning streak.
You know, you can't plan for them anyway, because one point can change the outcome of a set. So, of course, if you give yourself maximum chances, you know, and you're playing well, and you have super focus, then these streaks are kind of possible.
Federer plays his quarterfinal match against Kevin Anderson of South Africa. Rafa Nadal is into the quarters after defeating Czech Republic's Jiří Veselý in straight sets, 6-3, 6-3, 6-4. After the match, Rafa talked about being in the quarterfinals for the first time in 7 years.
It's an important result for me, no? And that's all. No, it's nothing. Of course, it's important for me to be in these quarterfinals. It's true that it has been a while since I have been in that position.
And being in that position requires quite a bit of focus.
Try to be focused on what I am doing. Just try to think the things or analyze the things that are going well, the things that I can improve, the things that I can't repeat that I did bad during the last couple of games, and the things that I have to continue doing if I am playing well.
Nadal's next match will be against Juan Martín Del Potro of Argentina. Novak Djokovic also secured a place in the quarterfinals with his win over Russia's Karin Khachanov in straight sets, 6-4, 6-2, 6-2. Djokovic has entered the quarterfinals for a 10th time at Wimbledon. He next plays Kei Nishikori of Japan. On the women's side, Serena Williams defeated Russia's Evgenia Rodina in straight sets on Monday. She enters the quarters as a firm favorite in this tournament. And while she is likely to take advantage of there not being a single seeded player in the quarterfinals, Serena says she is not celebrating yet.
I have a long way to go. I'm just only in the quarterfinals. And then, you know, it's not about wrapping up a win. It's not at all. You know, I have a long way to go. It's like all the other women that are still in the draw. So each of us, seated or not, I'm not seated, you know, we're just here to do our best.
Serena has not lost at the tournament since 2014. If she wins this year, she will claim the Wimbledon title for an 8th time. Last week, I mentioned that the Wimbledon men's singles final is scheduled to begin 2 hours before the start of the World Cup final. The average length of a men's tennis final, about 2 hours, 45 minutes. So that could potentially be a significant overlap in that World Cup first half. But Roger Federer says, well, sorry, World Cup.
I'm more concerned that the World Cup final will have issues because of the Wimbledon final is going on. Because they'll hear all every point, wow, oh my God, love 15. 15:30. And then the players are going to look up in the crowd and don't understand what's going on in Wimbledon. So that's how important Wimbledon is to me and to us over here. Maybe you should ask the questions over in Russia, how they're going to feel about Wimbledon being played at the same time.
No conflict for Roger Federer. I'll have more sports news tomorrow. Dan, back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. And Serena Williams advanced to the semifinals in a victory earlier today over Italian Camilla Giorgi. And that wraps up the July 10th edition of The Sunny Side of Sports. I'm Dan Friedel in for Sonny Young, and I'll be back for more tomorrow as we get ready for this second World Cup semifinal between England and Croatia. Thanks to VOA producer Bill Workinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Jonah Cummings. And thank you for tuning in. That's The Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In an effort to open markets and increase business opportunities for entrepreneurs in both the United States and Africa, U.S. Undersecretary of Commerce for International Trade Gilbert Kaplan launched a fact-finding mission in June with members of the President's Advisory Council on Doing Business in Africa in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. Chaired by the Secretary of Commerce, Wilbur Ross, the Council advises the President on ways to strengthen commercial engagement between the United States and Africa. Undersecretary Kaplan led a group of representatives from 14 Advisory Council member firms, as well as officials from 11 U.S. government agencies, on a four-nation visit that also included Kenya, Cote d'Ivoire, and Ghana. The trip served as a fact-finding tour for the Advisory Council. The members gathered country-specific information in preparation to making recommendations to President Donald Trump regarding the best way to spur the development of capital markets, transparent and value-based procurement processes, and workforce development. The delegation met with Ethiopian government officials, leaders of state-owned enterprises, and representatives of American and Ethiopian private companies to explore opportunities for increased cooperation. The United States seeks to strengthen economic ties with Ethiopia and remains focused on supporting efforts to create a conducive environment for private sector growth that will lead to broad-based economic prosperity and increased opportunities for both our countries. The United States government and senior U.S. business leaders are serious about enhancing commercial engagement with Ethiopia. As the fastest-growing and fifth-largest economy in sub-Saharan Africa, Ethiopia can become a significant economic and trade partner for the United States, said Undersecretary Kaplan. This visit will help all of us to better understand this dynamic and developing economic market and provide insight on how our great nation can support and participate in the great processes that are happening here.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the 31st African Union Summit has wrapped up in Mauritania with advisory decisions on Libya, Somalia and South Sudan. The significance of the African Union with Deputy Chairperson Kwesi Kwoti on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm Linor Moudour, host of Health Chat. Next week on Health Chat, we will discuss vitiligo, a condition that causes people to lose pigment in their skin. Our guest is Dr. Aisha Sethi, Associate Professor and Director of Yale Dermatology Global Health Program. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. Health Chat, this Tuesday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. end, our 5 minutes newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.